But first, in an extraordinary statement, a deputy president of Fair Work Australia says compulsory vaccinations for workers are, quote, abhorrent and morally and ethically wrong. Lyndall Dean says vaccine mandates would also create, quote, medical apartheid. Now, she was dissenting from a majority judgment upholding the right of a nursing home to sack a worker who refused vaccination. So can mandatory vaccinations be imposed in an ethical way? Dr. Jane Williams is with the Sydney Health Ethics Centre at the University of Sydney, which is advising the New South Wales government. Jane, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me back.
So those words from the Deputy President of Fair Work Australia, vaccine mandates are medical apartheid. Is she overdoing it there?
It's certainly a strong position. There is quite a lot of focus on the yes or no of mandates, which isn't necessarily very useful. I think it's really important to think about what you're trying to achieve with a mandate and really thinking quite hard about what's gained and what's lost in case of a mandate. There are certain places where mandates seem more justifiable than others.
Given the case that the Fair Work Commission was dealing with, that of an employee of an aged care centre, is that one of those sort of very special category and therefore compelling?
For me, the question there is what sort of contact that employee would have had with people who are at greater likelihood of becoming ill. If she's the receptionist, and does she have contact with people who are likely to become very ill from influenza? I understand that this was a particular thing about influenza vaccine. And are there other measures that that employee could have taken to minimize risk to the people around her? For example, we're all fairly accustomed to wearing masks. I understand that the legal situation this woman was in, masks would perhaps not have been an option. There are some things that are justifiable about aged care mandates.
Now, you have written that there is a fair way to introduce a vaccine mandate. Two things, necessity and trust. Just explain why those two concepts are so critical to the fair implementation of mandated vaccines.
We don't want anybody to have to do something just for the sake of it. If you're asking somebody to do something that they haven't already done of their own volition, then there's got to be a very, very good reason for that. With somebody who has a very strong anti-vax position, then there might be no coming back from that. That's a very small proportion of Australian adults. I think the really entrenched anti-vax position is in only around 2 to 4% of Australian adults. Most other people who aren't vaccinated because they're scared, or particularly in the case of COVID, because they haven't got good access still. They might think that they might have a medical contraindication, which is the sort of thing that can be sorted out with a conversation. They might be waiting. They're not exactly sure what for, but waiting until they feel okay about it. Those are the sorts of things that should be conversations. They should be helping people to get vaccinated. They should be making access super, super, super easy.
Which means vaccinations available at work.
Absolutely. And if they're not available at work, then people should be given paid time off work to go and get them. And if you have caring responsibilities, or if you've got the type of job where you don't get paid leave and taking a day off work and maybe a couple of days off work if you're unlucky to feel a bit rubbish afterwards and you're not getting paid for that, that's difficult for a lot of workers, particularly in casualised industries such as aged care.
Jane, I'm thinking about the fairly stark warning that the New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, gave just this week. And she was aiming her comments perhaps at the willfully unvaccinated, the ideologically unvaccinated, saying, well, life is going to be for the next few months quite difficult for you. Given that we may be talking here about the willfully and ideologically unvaccinated, is that language justified?
It's a really interesting one. So my guess is that she was using that as a sort of policy lever, really, to say you can get around the annoyance of extended lockdown by getting vaccinated. Is that going to really touch the 2-4% of people who, for whatever reason, really do not want to get vaccinated and won't get vaccinated? No, not really. I don't think that will affect them at all. I mean, we talked earlier briefly about the idea of trust. Probably it will just make people feel angry, perhaps increasingly politicized. You know, we are seeing a bit of that as well. They will likely think that it's unfair because generally people who don't want to get vaccinated don't think there's a good reason to get vaccinated anyway. So they're not going to think, oh, well, fair enough, I'll just sit at home for another couple of months. I think probably that was to get hesitant people over the line, and it might work.
Just finally, Jane, exemptions on religious grounds. Mm. Religious leaders have, by and large, been very pro-vaccination. One area where they're hesitant is to say, well, we're going to turn people away at the doors if they are not vaccinated. Is there a case there? Because the reality is religious congregations tend to be older, more vulnerable populations. Is there a case there for closing the doors of a religious institution to the unvaccinated?
That's such an interesting question. And I noted actually that that was, I believe, the only exemption from October the 11th that unvaccinated people wouldn't be prevented from entering places of worship. Religion is a really interesting one because even though religious leaders have said, get vaccinated, it's a good thing, you know, the religion doesn't say you shouldn't be vaccinated, there are still individuals who feel that their personal and religious beliefs prevent vaccination from being a good thing for them. And I'm thinking of a very interesting conversation I had with an Uber driver back in the day when I could go further than 5 kilometres from home, who was a Muslim man who was saying there was no point in him getting vaccinated because his life and death had been preordained. And I don't know enough to be able to pass judgment on whether or not that's a reasonable take, but it was something that was important to him. He was clearly a very religious person. I don't think that barring people from places of worship would be an easy thing. Perhaps having other things in place that would minimize their risks. So, for example, compulsory mask wearing, perhaps rapid antigen testing when that comes in, assuming that it's available and inexpensive, might be a good alternative.
Dr. Jane Williams, she's a researcher with Sydney Health Ethics, which is part of the University of Sydney, and that unit has been advising the New South Wales government during this pandemic. Thanks for coming back to the Religion and Ethics Report, Jane.
Thanks so much for having me.